Good morning. Today is Friday, the 7th of December. Joining us this morning on the road, traveling safely, Eureka City Manager Miles Slattery. Good morning, sir.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you? To begin with, are you ready? Here we go. Why do we say not to be sneezed at? Did he just leave us?
Yeah, it does sound like we lost Miles there.
Well, I presume that he will call back, and in the interim here, we'll
should we just
do our question
what it
here?
Is?
Not to be sneezed at. A sneeze often confers a sort of mild exhilaration and was long thought to clear the mind. High society made a complete surrender to the craze for sneezing. Everyone who was anyone carried a box of ground herbs. Snuffed into the nostrils, a pinch of the mixture that included tobacco produced a hearty sneeze. Largely restricted to the leisure class, the self-induced sneeze became a mark of indolence. After hearing news or gossip...
Hey.
Yeah, we're answering your question, so you're getting a pass on this one. Are you there?
I heard you for a second, Brian.
There you go. Okay, so let me finish. Well, you know what? It doesn't really matter too much, does it? Okay.
Well, what's funny, Brian, is Winston just told me that it took him a year to figure out how to work the board. It may be taking a little bit longer.
Talk about putting my foot in my mouth.
Oh, gee. All righty, bud. Let's talk a little bit about the decision made with the properties for the housing that the city council made earlier this week. Kind of a novel concept, and for a lot of us, you know, you kind of got in the neighborhood where many were hoping things were going to settle in, that the old Jacobs Junior High site, but this one's the property that Pearson Company has got between Harris and, do we call it Henderson? I guess we kind of sort of
do. We do call it Henderson.
All right. Geez, what epiphany had you come up with that location? I mean, super spot for that.
Well, it wasn't an epiphany. So when we, you know, we held public meetings related to development on the parking lots back in May, and there was a lot of concern expressed about those particular parking lots. And so at that time, you know, we basically just said that it's okay. You know, what we do is we look into as many alternatives as possible, and one of those would be potentially trading properties. And so through the next 6 months, we were contacted by at least three different property owners and looked at well over 7 to 8 different properties to see if a property swap could happen, making sure that we could still maintain at a minimum the same number of units and get approval from the state. And it just turns out that this property was one of the only of the many that we looked at that met all the criteria that would give us the same number of units, meet the appropriate zoning, and, you know, fit with the program. So that's how it ended up. It was the only property that we're looking at it.
Is it the same number? Is it a little bit larger? I mean, the configuration of the property certainly is different.
Yeah, but you have to take into account zoning and those type of things. We definitely can get more units out of it. It's just, I don't want to get too much into the weeds over the zoning stuff, but there's ways that you can be more dense in certain zoning areas, and so the parking lots allow for more density, but you also can get infill bonuses for the zoning that are on the Pearson properties, and so that allows for an increased number of units. All in all, the Pearson property would afford more affordable units compared to the three properties that the city owns.
Multi-level, is that the current thought there? A couple of stories or one story? Because you got those in the neighborhood there that might have a view of the bay that certainly could be impacted if it went up, let's say, three stories.
Yeah, and so, you know, whether it's one or three, you're going to impact their view. The level of the houses there, you're going to impact their view even at one story. Pearson's property actually had a development in that went through all the way up into the design review process, intending to develop that same property, and that would have blocked the views. You know, that property's been zoned residential for, you know, ever, and it was a part of our general plan update. It was zoned as residential, so it's always been meant for residential property to be developed at that location. We will be holding a public meeting to discuss concerns related to, you know, we've heard a lot of traffic concerns on that property, you know, because of Harris and the Blind Corner, those type of things, so that when we either work with a developer or go out to an RFP, we can address those concerns and make it as a part of the development, whether it's expanding the sidewalks or putting in crosswalks or, you know, those type of things in order to mitigate some of the concerns the neighbors have.
Now, that bluff area was carved away to expand the highway when it was going through, when Broadway was expanded. Are there any thoughts of digging down the bluff? I know it's, you know, it's still not the most stable of stuff, but to go down to develop additional opportunity for housing rather than going up and maybe have a 2 or 3 story, but looking at it from ground level on the bluff, it looks like a 1 story, but it then goes down towards Broadway?
I think likely that would be really cost prohibitive. We've basically taken into account a less than 30% slope as being developable. And we've been out there and looked at it with our previous building official. And then also we received the soils report that was developed for the Pearson property development. We feel comfortable that with that setback of from the cliff to develop, that we can have ample space to develop what we need to.
Oh, there is a setback. There is a setback then. I didn't know if it was going to be out towards the edge or if it's setback, that explains it pretty succinctly.
It'll be about 30, you know, anything greater. It's actually 27.49% is the actual percentage, but anything that was greater than that percentage, we consider that not to be developed.
Just doesn't play. Yeah. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Miles Slattery. Miles, the discussion around the parking lot, I know there are a number of different views. There's a lot of concerns about not having on-street parking, not having this. I guess there's the issue with the projects, and then there's the issue with how the project's information is being disseminated. But before we get to that, you said that the Pearson properties, it was an exchange. Which of those parking lots is now on the trading block, so to speak?
Yeah, that's pretty literal. But yeah, so the 5th and K parking lot, which is adjacent to City Hall, that's one of them. Another one is 5th and H, which is by the old Banana Hut. And the third one is 4th and G, which is behind Redwood Capital Bank. So those are the three parking lots that would be exchanged for basically the properties that are to the west of Fairfield between Harris and Henderson Streets. It's the entire block between Harris and Henderson.
Yeah, as you look at those three properties that you were just referencing, what are the City Hall employees? I know a lot of you guys are working off site now, but where are they going to be able to park? Because you certainly are utilizing that property right now.
I mean, I don't have an issue. I mean, we haven't to be honest, not a one. I think we could park on the street. I park on the street. It's not a very commercial area there. It's a lot of parking just to the south of 6th Street that's available. We still have the other parking lot that's on 6th and L, but that's also, that is another parking lot that's going to be turned into a housing eventually. But, you know, from our perspective, if we develop 6th and L, the only concerns that staff really have about the parking is the vehicles that our staff use for work. So we have code enforcement, traffic engineering, facility staff, other people that have work vehicles that are stored there. And so if we do the development, when we do the development on 6th and L Street for that parking lot, we'll make it a requirement that they provide parking for those vehicles.
As well as the residents?
Yeah. Yep, and then the personal vehicles for the city folks will, you know. I mean, ideally right now we're going through, and I know this rubs people some the wrong way. We're trying to get people to use mass transit. We're doing a partnership with Hubble Transit Authority right now. They're offering their members, their Joint Powers Authority members, free bus passes for, I believe it's 3 months, to see what kind of participation level we can get so that we can encourage our staff to use mass transit to get to and from work. And they're trying to expand that mass transit with the Link Properties developments that were the first round of these affordable housing units. They're increasing bus routes for those developments as well. So hopefully as we put more housing into the different parts of town, we can expand the mass transit system.
It would be interesting, and I don't know, my knowledge on this goes back a long way and it's really shallow, but even Bart in the heyday.
I mean, you knew that 101 dug into that cliff, so yeah, I don't even want to date that.
Yeah. Well, this one's a little bit more contemporary than that, buddy. What percentage of a population are employed in positions that would qualify potentially to be users of public transportation? Yeah, I'm thinking with our staff, we've got some folks that go out in the community and public transportation, there's no way in the world that would ever apply. And we've got others that if there was a bus stop right in front of us, okay, maybe a third of our staff could easily utilize that option as a way to come to work if things worked out properly.
That's what's good about the city is every single one of our employees, other than department head staff, every one of our employees that need a vehicle to go do their job, that's what those vehicles are that I was talking about on 6th and M.
Right.
I mean, yes, they could come into work, and then they have city vehicles to perform the job, whether it's building inspectors or obviously the police, you know,
sure.
All of those
sure.
People that need, there's a city vehicle to use. So, yeah, it actually, for municipal employees, it's probably the most appropriate to use mass transit because they do have those city-provided vehicles to do their job.
But what about for those that have business at City Hall or, you know, with the public meetings? You know, I presume that there are going to be public meetings continuing in the council chambers. You know, if you've got another, yeah. I mean, historically, it's been challenging even with those two lots, if it's a hot topic for people to park within 3 or 4 blocks back when safety wasn't quite as much of a concern. But now if you're pushing those out onto the street and adding to that with the living space, that really kind of makes it a challenge for folks to show up and participate if that's something that is desired by City Council.
Well, I mean, right now we have the ability to do hybrid, so they can participate whether they're there or not. And I think we definitely intend to continue to do that, so
okay.
I don't see that changing. As far as the parking lots, you know, when we have meetings and people come in, that 5th and K parking lot, there's maybe 7 spots that are available for the public in that parking lot. The rest of them are reserved for staff.
Right, right. Okay, so maybe it's not as much of an issue then. KINS.
Yeah, 3 or 4 blocks. I mean, We'd have a pretty raging council meeting if it was 3 or 4 blocks you had to park away.
Oh, you just don't remember your history, bud. We'll talk about that one during the break, too. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, with the parking lots, what is the next phase? Is it construction of this project that we've been talking about so that there is one kind of up and going so that people then can kind of wrap their minds around what's going on? Are there going to be other property swaps for more advantageous areas? I think a lot of us, we just kind of have a question is we've heard about this thing and we have maybe a little bit of insight, but when's it going to happen?
So there's some administrative things that need to happen before we move forward because, I mean, to give you history, we were out of compliance with the housing element ever since we adopted it. So the intent of this is actually not only to assuage some of the concerns related to the community, but it was also in an attempt to make up for some of the properties that we lost. So we lost two properties. So we have to go back and do some administrative work as far as redoing the rest of our property list, getting those property lists figured out, sending it to the state, getting approval for those properties. And then as far as the transfer itself, there's some administrative stuff that we have to do. There's a 60-day inspection period where we have to do some environmental assessments and make sure that there's no liabilities on either party for the properties that they're getting. And then once that's done, the idea is to either A, go out to an RFP to put some properties together and say, this is what we'd like to see there. Give us your best proposal.
I bet you I know one guy that could build.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, okay.
But then
yeah.
We'd also be able to work directly with a developer and, you know, have parameters put in place and see whether or not they're willing to meet them.
So as you look at Eureka or as the community, it's you guys looking at Eureka. If we had, and I think it's going to swing back with some of the changes that are going on, a more retail-based economy, more service, more restaurants, more everybody in the downtown business corridor. You look at what that projects out to and how many individuals, how many cars versus what we have today. How many more parking slots are needed to be able to handle, let's say, the old JCPenney's building being utilized, some of these dark buildings being utilized, whether it's for part of the day with restaurants, whether it's a 10 to 6 retail setting, how many of those parking spots do we have, and what's the gap?
Well, so that's a good question, because right now we're evaluating that. So we've got a waterfront-specific study that's going on right now that includes a parking study, and that parking study is going to evaluate, what the parking needs are. And we actually have a survey out currently for people to, you know, answer questions about when they go into the Old Town area, how far are they willing to park, what's their experience currently, do they find it hard to find parking, those type of things. And then we have a consultant on board that's going to put together that study and give us some feedback as to what our parking situation actually is. Because, I mean, you couldn't have two more differing opinions about the parking deficiencies in Old Town or the parking abundancy in Old Town, depending on which side you believe or which side you, you know, you subscribe to. But, yeah, there's both sides. And I'd say it's pretty close to 50-50 where people say that, you know, I go into Old Town and I get sick and tired of driving around looking for a spot. Other people say, you know, I park and I'm right there and it's not a problem. So I think that this hopefully is going to be a third-party objective study.
And I suppose that there's a couple variables in there that the study would address. One, not today, but what tomorrow's needs are. It could be radically different.
Because that's why we have a part about this waterfront-specific study, because that whole thing is about infill and looking at properties and what their potential for those properties are. And then you could say, okay, we want to put, you know, a Google Central thing. How many parking are we going to need? And obviously,
right,
whatever it is that they're looking at, they're going to estimate what the parking demand would be.
Well, I would,
you know, we're also...
I would think if you just looked at it, if let's say if Penny's was the old Penny's site that has been dark for a long time, was a less than normal foot traffic, you're still probably looking at 15, 20 customers and the staff of the same, so 30 cars. And let's just say Mazzotti's or Roy's Club, boom, they're back in. Okay, that's going to be another 10, 15 cars. Yeah. You know, You drop 50 vehicles in there now in that area, and all of a sudden the streets are very, very different as far as trying to find a parking location. I mean,
that's true. And I think that's true, and I think that, you know, I mean, you look at other communities. I'm from San Diego. You know, parking there, it's very clear that you're walking a very long distance if you want to do anything to any sort of event, whether it's the gas lamp quarter or whether it's
the weather is significantly different there than it is here. And it's you know, with the military there, they're younger and more fit. Now, I'm thinking of, let's say, a 65-year-old grandma with her grandkids. That's probably more the profile of a lot of the traditional downtown, Old Town shopper. You know, for them to walk 5 or 6 blocks is in Eureka during the winter is a whole lot different than somebody in San Diego in winter walking 4 or 5 blocks in their flip-flops and shorts.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, that's, you know, Waterfront Pacific study and the other parking study will help evaluate that.
Two separate studies.
Well, they were funded with the same funding source,
but
they're being done concurrently with the understanding that, you know, this Waterfront Pacific study is going to make recommendations. It's actually going to do all of the preliminary planning work for future development that's potential in that area. So there's a certain section that's a little bit larger than Old Town that basically will say, okay, we're going to do all the environmental review for what could possibly be here. That way, when a developer comes in, they can say, okay, I don't have to do this environmental review. It's already been done for me, so it makes it more desirable for them to actually do something.
Easier to say yes.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's a good mantra to have across the board, I think, in everything. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with 4 airlines going to 7 cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on AHA, American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Reno, and Las Vegas. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, you got a new top cop. You want to share a little bit about him? We didn't have the pleasure of him coming in on day one like we have in the past with a couple of them. But I guess you must have got to him and told him, you know, probably not your first day. Let's focus on some other things.
That was Steven's call. I wanted to throw the wolves with Steven saved him.
fair enough. Are you pleased with the selection?
Yeah, I think that he's getting along well with our staff. I think that he understands his role right now as far as the interim. He's came very well respected out of San Diego, 35-year career. I think the last 4 or 5 years was assistant chief down in San Diego. Did a lot of work with some of the issues that we're dealing with, whether it's homelessness, needle exchange programs, oversight boards. He was the staff member for the city of San Diego for those types of programs and projects that we're dealing with currently. And so I think he's a good fit to serve as the interim. And he's liking Eureka. He enjoys being here, and he's getting along well with all of our staff. And
so what,
get him out and about more. He'll be at your next one for sure.
There you go. So what's the timeline for finding or determining, rather, the permanent replacement for Steve?
So likely it'll be, you know, right now we have it as a six-month period. If it's shorter than that, then so be it. But we think 6 months is adequate. We've recently spoken with a consultant. We're going to be starting the recruitment probably mid-next week to the end of next week. And we're developing a survey for the community to chime in on what they're looking for our next police chief. And then we're going to be setting up some different interview panels, including a business one, a community one, a department head one, and then an administrative one to do an interview process. So that's all starting right now.
Isn't a police chief position pretty straightforward? You know, support the community and uphold the law? I mean, you know, what am I missing something in the equation?
It is, but I think that there's a certain type of policing that I'm sure the community would like to see.
Effective.
Effective, yes.
Yeah. See, I've boiled this thing down. You don't need all these studies. Jeez, Louise. On 14th, I know the weather's kind of, it was tempting and allowed a little bit extra to happen, but then kind of in the middle of it, here comes the wet, and now we've got those little schnibbles flying all over the place as you try to drive the easternmost end of 14th. Any hopes to be able to do a quick overlay or something if we get a couple days of dry?
Oh, yeah, we're going to. So I believe the utilities are in. That's what we were waiting for before, and I think that we've made those. I'd have to check with Brian, our public works director, but I'm pretty sure that the utilities are in, and that's what kind of delayed it from the rest of the paving project. And then once we get some weather, we can finish off the paving all the way up there to West.
So it's just a you don't have to wait until next April or May to get that punched out.
No, it's a part of a contract that's already in place. It's just a matter of the weather window.
So what does this coming calendar year bring as far as additional paving projects? I know you were kind of giddy when the surcharge was passed and you got some money and things were looking okay, and you'd said, okay, 14th was one of the main ones, the bulb out things, which I guess are working, were part of that. Man, I've seen too many near hits stories for longer and a different setting than this. But what's the next pavement project that you're looking at in Eureka that folks can look forward to for this coming year?
So I just got the list. I don't want to misspeak. I do know for sure one that we get a lot of complaints on that was actually going to be 2 years from now, but it's been moved up into this upcoming dry season, is the 2nd and X area. So that whole area that
you mean no more half tracks? You don't need tanks to drive through there?
So that is on the list, and I'm sure Carbineau and Barry Smith and those types of businesses are very pleased to be hearing that.
Right. And I would suspect the Transit Authority employees also.
Yeah, there's a laundry. There's a big list of it. I mean, we're looking at over $3 million again, so, I mean, there's going to be a lot of paving coming up.
Not one long road, a bunch of neighborhood pavings.
No, there is long roads. I know that we've done commercial recently. That was a part of the recent one, which I think is great. They got some tracks out of there, and it's a nice, smooth ride.
Okay. Well, that gives us something to...
Washington, maybe. I don't forget. I don't remember exactly which one.
Just bring the list next month when you come in, okay?
Okay.
All right, bud. Yeah, have a good weekend.
All right.
Thanks.
Take it easy.
See everybody on Monday. Bye.